A little over 8 years ago, we started Lighthouse, and we thought the easiest thing to do would be to rent a warehouse and turn it into a church. We thought it'd be pretty simple. We looked around, we didn't find anything, so we decided that in the meantime, that we would meet in a school. It's probably a good plan of action, because 8 short years later, here we are, and we finally found our warehouse, and so we're thankful for that. On the surface level, our struggle was kind of one of circumstance. For a while there, warehouse space was at a premium, and our needs were so specific that we rarely seemed to find anything. And when we did find something, we ran into the trouble of certain land management companies kind of inexplicably refusing to lease property to a church. And so even when the market loosened up, we ran into our difficulties. And yet, as much as our challenge seems like a matter of circumstances, biblically we know that in reality that our sovereign and wise God had a different plan for us. As it says in Ephesians 1:11, our God works all things according to the counsel of his will. And so these last 8 years have not been simply a season of waiting, but they've been 8 years of God being gracious to our church family. And in retrospect, we see why God's timing is always perfect. One way his timing is perfect in that even if this had occurred maybe a couple years ago, chances are we would have likely outgrown our facility. I remember a few years ago, we looked at one that was maybe a third of the size of this. And the only thing that stopped us from going forward was the landowner said no. Okay, so kind of imagine trying to fit our church into that small of a place. His timing was perfect in that for 8 years, he has taught us to serve in ways kind of unique to a church in a trailer. He's refined us, and grew in so many a deeper willingness to be a servant from young and old, or as old as we have here at Lighthouse, from baby Christians to mature believers, people have served, and it's been so neat. And God's been gracious in that. His timing is perfect in that for 8 years, we've constantly been reminded of the lesson that church is not about a building, but it's about a people who worship Christ and who proclaim the gospel. Maybe one of the biggest ways that God's timing has been perfect has been in the way that we got to steward our money for this building. As many of you know, when we found this place, we ran into the challenge of needing money to build it out. Some of you got to see this, but this was basically an empty box. Like you could probably play a football game over there, and maybe a pillar or two would get in your way, and that's about it. And the problem was is that because we were leasing this, we had no equity, we couldn't get a loan, we couldn't do an extended building campaign because we needed the money to finish the project quickly. It was suggested to hire an outside consulting agency to maybe run a building program, but the elders decided simply to do what we've always done. As a congregation, we studied God's word, we let the Holy Spirit transform our hearts, and to that end, God was truly faithful. If you remember, in the first part of the project, we needed to raise $1.5 million, and we raised almost exactly $1.5 million. In the second phase, we needed to raise between $300,000 and $400,000, and we raised almost exactly $400,000. And to all this, we just have to say that God was so good. But I think for us, it was not simply about raising money, but I think for many of us, it was about what it means to love Christ above all things, to see him as more glorious than anything that the world could offer. The idea as we were raising money was to treasure Christ. Because when Christ is your great treasure, then money will cease to be. And when money ceases to be a treasure, then it will simply be a means to love others, and more importantly, to love Christ, who is the true treasure. I guarantee the work that God did in our hearts was more important than the work he's done to this building. And so again, I have to say that God has been truly gracious, loving us in the way that he has, not simply providing this building, but by doing it in the way and the timing that he did. Our God is so gracious to us. This morning, in light of all this, we wanted to take some time to recognize some people that God has brought used to bring this project to fruition. I'm sure they would rather not be recognized, but I'm hoping that you'll make the effort to thank them for the ways that they've served us and ultimately served our Lord. For some of you, you were at Torrance High School last week, and then you came and you're here. And that's pretty cool, right? But actually, this has been a big project. You know, a lot's gone on over the last year. And so we want to make sure that you know who was doing some of that. Let me start off by asking a few people to stand who've worked diligently in different areas. And so if you're here, if you could stand, I know some people are serving in the children's ministry and are kind of out and about, but Paul Sawasaki and the accounting team to kind of help us run the stewardship project. Hopefully they're here. There's Paul. I know some of you are part of that accounting team. Jen Wu also was part of the stewardship project. She helped kind of organize it. We brought her on specifically for that ministry. Others who devoted their time, Kevin Joe. Is Kevin here? Kevin's in the back there. Kevin works for the city. He couldn't directly work on this project, obviously, for conflict of interest issues. But he was just always there to give us wisdom, you know, and to tell us what we could and could not do. And we're so thankful for him. Jared Kira and Glenn Soga just committed a lot of time to kind of making these things happen. Grace Liu gave us her legal expertise as we were kind of working through contracts. And Danny McDonald is our sound guy. So Danny, I think, is in the back. And so if you look at our lights, our sound, all this multimedia, he was the one that helped set that up. So we can take a moment and just kind of recognize them and thank them for what they've done. Again, when you see them afterwards, could you make sure to thank them? You know, they worked so hard. I also want to recognize the staff. So the interns, some of you guys are here. They emptied my office. So that alone is a project. I think they said it was almost 60 boxes of books. And there was one day where I was about to preach at a retreat. So I had to study. And so I had my earphones in, my computer in front of me, my Bible open. I'm studying, and they're just around me, just doing books, right? And I don't know if you see my office; it's not that big. And they were just kind of around me, just clearing it out and things like that. And so I appreciate them. David Lee, G. St. John, Gavin Kajikawa, they've worked so hard to kind of get us here and to be a part of this project. Lastly, a few people who weren't from our church, but again, who have been instrumental in this. I don't know if Stephanie from Marshall Music is here. Is Stephanie here? By chance? Okay, Stephanie, she's the owner of Marshall Music, who we're sharing the building with. And we actually had to encroach upon her property. They had to go inside and do things to make sure that our side was. And she was just always so gracious. And the plant out in front is from her welcoming us. So if you've got a chance, make sure you thank Stephanie. She's a sister in Christ, and so we really appreciate that. John Kaji, John, can I have you stand? John was is one of our real estate agents, so he helped us in finding this place, and he's been with us for years. And so most of you don't know him, but he's been working so tirelessly. So if we can give John a hand. Lastly is Arnold Ng, and for a while, John had been a real estate agent, and kind of because of his desire to see us get in a building, he asked his friend Arnold to join him in the endeavor. And Arnold is just with John, worked tirelessly. He probably got tired of us, but he worked tirelessly. And Arnold's a Christian brother. He's a leader in another church, and yet for the last 3 years, he's worked on our behalf to get us into this place. For me, I don't know much about the real estate, but even when he found it, his job was not done. He has to continue to negotiate with the owners, and because of a project of this size, there's all these things going on, and he was just always there, always working graciously, with integrity, always with our interest upon his mind. Trust me when I say we're not his biggest client, but he works so hard for this church. I'm thankful that through this time I've gained a friend, and hope that you'll make every effort to thank him for his work for our church. And so we've asked him to come up and to share a few words about what these last few years have been like for him. So Arnold, will you come up, and can we welcome Arnold?
Thank you, Pastor Kim. Wow, look at this. We serve a great and awesome God, don't we? A God who gives us exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. And a God who opens doors of opportunity and also helps us overcome obstacles. And during the last 3 years, we've seen him in action as we've worked together to come to this point in time for this building. So I wanted to share with you a couple inside stories on what that process was like, if you would let me to do that. The first obstacle that we faced was really the area of parking. To find 200 car parking in Torrance is impossible, except for Delamo. And to find that in a place where you can have a church is really a tall challenge. Many of you know that we looked at a building in El Segundo. It was on Hawaii. Do you remember going to Hawaii, right? Well, God didn't want you in Hawaii. God wanted you in Torrance. We knocked on every door, on every neighbor in that area, looking for 200 car parking. And we can only wrestle up maybe 50 or 75 car parking, and it was just too much. So God moved us in a different direction. We also looked at a building on 190th Street that's smart and final. It was smart and final. We thought we were pretty smart, but God said, no, that's final. You're not in there. So we moved on, and that deal didn't come together either. And then we moved to several other locations, which for different reasons did not work out. But God knows better for all of us. And in addition to overcoming the obstacle of parking, we had the obstacle of use. And in the city of Torrance, Kevin knows this the best, is that there are certain areas that do not allow churches. And really, churches create a lot of traffic, and they don't generate a lot of revenue, sales tax revenue. In fact, Pastor Kim and I sat with the head of the El Segundo planning group, and we told them, the people, we spend money, we eat, we create a lot of economic benefit, so why not let us come in? But generally speaking, churches don't like, cities really don't like churches because of our inability to generate sales tax. The other thing that God helped overcome was really the obstacle of landlords. A lot of landlords did not receive us well. In fact, some of them just told us outright, don't even submit a proposal. So that was an obstacle for us. The last obstacle that God helped overcome was the area of location. Many wanted to be right here in the central part of Torrance. And, you know, some buildings were in South Torrance, and some buildings were in El Segundo, and some buildings were on the east side. So that obstacle was something that God helped to overcome. So just in closing, I just want to thank you for the opportunity of working with you. It's been a great experience to see how God works. And just let this be a place where people can hear the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, changing lives, touching lives for really all of eternity. Thank you very much.
Good morning. My name is Jason Ho, and I can't remember if we had drew straws and I got the short straw, or the other L's were just ganging up on me as the only Yankee fan, but somehow I got stuck. I mean, I had the privilege of overseeing the building project, and I just want to take a few moments then to share with you kind of an overview of how the project went. And before I even get to that, I just want to share that the whole process really is a testament to God's goodness and grace, as seen just in his perfect provisions and his perfect timing throughout the project. So as you listen kind of to this overview, maybe just listen with the heart of thankfulness, of appreciation, of worship for our great God. So starting October of last year, again with the help of Arnold and our realtors, Lighthouse is able to finally find a suitable site after quite a long search. A site that we could build out a church. It was the right location, the right size, the right parking, the right price, and the right owner who was welcoming to us. So at that point, we put together a vision team, and we hired architects, the Reuters, to help in the planning, and we got to work. We began planning in earnest, trying to figure out what were our needs, our wants, our desires, and as we were doing this, we were determining how much this project would cost. And so concurrently, we began starting up our giving campaign. And as Kim shared about, you know, in this we saw again God's perfect provision for us and his timing. Our next big hurdle then was to get the okay from the city of Torrance to build a church here. And historically, this was not always a given. They weren't always welcoming to churches. And yet again, God answered our prayers, and that process went as smooth as could be. We were able to finalize our plans, and we hired a general contractor, TG Construction, to oversee the project. We broke ground in late April, and despite a few obstacles and setbacks along the way, here we are this morning, less than a year later, having our first service together. Praise God. Now, many of you got to see firsthand how God has been working so faithfully in this project. You know, you heard the updates. Some of you came to our initial meetings with the city. You've come to visit the site or help out. And for many of us, I think the day that the giving was announced, that Sunday, where we raised pretty much to the penny how much we were hoping for, is when it really sank in. You know, God is at work here. I think for many of us, we realize sometimes our faith is maybe too small, but we have a great big God. So for me, in overseeing this project, you know, I got a front row seat to seeing God at work. You know, there were quite a few kind of make or break moments through this process where, you know, leaders, we'd be thinking, this could really sink us. We could be stuck here. Almost all these things happened out of our hands. It wasn't the construction's fault or the architect's, or, you know, things just happened. Yet every single time, God worked things out. You know, these last few weeks had been a mad scramble, as you can imagine. Everything kind of had to come together. We needed to get things done by tomorrow or even yesterday. We need to get letters written to the city. We need to pass our inspections. So many of these issues could have delayed us for weeks, yet, again, here we are. God is good. Now, personally, if you know me, I'm not the kind of person who really stresses or freaks out. And I don't think I really freaked out at all during this process, but there were moments. When we picked this Sunday as our first service, and we had to kind of decide a couple months ago, this was it, we kind of went all in. We ended our lease at Torrance High School. We started moving all our stuff in here. And until about 2 days ago, I still wasn't sure that we had the final okay from the city and whether we'd be actually meeting in here or we'd be out in the parking lot. But again, God's timing is perfect. Even from a financial perspective, because much of our giving is coming in the rest of this year through next summer, but most of our bills are due now, every month I was kind of concerned about, you know, are we going to stay solvent as a church? I joked with Kim and Gavin, you know, we might not pay you this month if that's okay, because we don't have the money. Again, God provided. And as you see, or you will see when you get a chance to take the tour of the site, you know, there are still quite a few things that need to be worked on. The kitchen, the fellowship hall, the play yard, the coffee house, all a bit bare at the moment. But again, God has provided, and over the next few months, we soon will be able to furnish all of these areas. So God really taught me, and I think most of us here at Lighthouse, simply to trust in him. You know, Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and he will make your path straight. And there were many times where I felt our path was all crooked, yet God, you know, he set our path straight and got us to where we are now. If it were up to me, if it were up to our building team, we'd probably be out in the parking lot right now. But God is good. So all thanks, all glory to God. He's sovereign. He has provided for all we need. Now, in terms of providing, he also provided many of the people that we need to help us through this project. So again, I want to spend some time just to recognizing some of these people who shared their giftedness, their expertise with us. So I don't know if all these people are here. If you are, I would ask you to please stand so we can recognize you, and we have a small gift to give you from our church. So first, I'd like to recognize the owners of this property who, again, were willing to take kind of a risk on us, bring a church in. Rick and Brett Thomas, do they happen to be here today? No. Again, if you see them around, give them a word of thanks. We hope to continue to partner with them and really bring benefit and blessing to the community through this church. Next, I'd like to just acknowledge and thank TG Construction. They're the general contractors we worked with. Mike Rotolo, are you here today? If you stand. Mike is the... Mike is the president of TG Construction, and he was the first gentleman we met with in our interviews, and we immediately could tell that this was an outstanding firm that did excellent work, and clearly we picked the right people, so thank you. David Sestak, he was the senior project manager on the job. David, thank you. So he kind of managed the overall project for us and really kept us on track, worked with the city, kept me sane. So thank you for doing an excellent job. And then Mark Schaubel, our superintendent. Thank you. So Mark was kind of the person that is here every single day. And every time I had a quick phone call to make, I would call him, and he would put out all the fires for us. So thank you. Then also a few people from our church I'd like to recognize who went a little above and beyond. One is Mark Cato. Mark, are you back there? You're back there. Mark is kind of our He's kind of our resident rock star. And so we helped Danny set up the sound and video. So we appreciate his efforts. Eric Yanamura, right here. Eric, he was our landscape artist. And if you see out in the play yard, he brought his company in and they helped plant the bushes there that will grow up and fill and become like a nice fence, natural barrier for us. So we thank you. Carol Soga, is she here? Carol's a professional designer, and she's helping us again with the play yard area. We're working on getting a children's play structure and some things for adults as well, so she's working on that. And then Tom Walker, if you could stand, Tom. Tom is a professional cabinet maker, if you didn't know. And so if you go out into the children's area, he designed, constructed, and installed all of that cabinetry, all the millwork by himself this summer. And I don't think he started coming to our church till after we actually started this project, and he stepped right in, and he pretty much gave us this whole summer for that. So we are very thankful for that. Next, I want to call up our architects and ask them to share a few words. When we were interviewing and hiring our architects, you know, we were looking for the right kind of style. We were looking for integrity, someone we could work well with. And actually, being believers wasn't a requirement, but the fact that our architects turned out to be fellow believers was such a blessing. You know, they were super easy to work with, very accommodating to our needs and desires. They are totally available. And most importantly, they had the same vision. You know, this wasn't about building this awesome building, but this was about putting together a building that was to be a tool for ministry, for the glory of God. And many of you may not realize, you know, architects, they do a lot more than just design. They walked us through this whole project. They helped us hire the general contractor. They dealt with a lot of the city issues. You know, they pretty much held my hand when I didn't know what I was doing, which was every week. So I just want to welcome, thank, and bring up Dean and Susan Reuter, our architect and our interior designer. And not only are they fellow believers, not only did they serve us, but I think the building team and the leaders would all agree with me. You know, after meeting with them and sharing with them, having fun with them every week for the past year, they're also truly our friends. So I'd like to welcome Dean and Susan Reuter.
Thank you very much. My husband's going to let me speak first because he yelled too much at the USC game yesterday. I have to say it's been just a joy to work with this church. From the moment that we met your leaders and walked them around another church that we had worked on, I wanted to do the project. I wanted to work with them because they were just wonderful examples of Christ. So I usually cry at these things, as most of my family will attest to, which is not a bad thing, except that I can't talk. So anyway, it has blessed us in many ways. I think our business has been blessed, and just the whole time of working with this church and seeing your dedication and your faith and your willingness to get in and help. It was so much fun the other day unpacking the chairs for the little kids' room because there were so many happy, joyful workers here, and it just made the job go so quickly, more so than any other one that I have done. So your church is on a good path, and we just wish you the best and are so pleased to have been a part of it.
Well, thank you very much. This has been a blessing from start to finish. We're reuniting with Arnold from the beginning of this thing all the way through the finish, with working with the city people down to the last second. I think it was Thursday. They were off Friday. And them going, yes, this is good. We're going to let you in. You know, we don't have all the final inspections, but here we are today. My voice is almost at the end. You can applaud for that, too. One of my there's so many stories when you have the intensity of what went on here, and your design team from the church was wonderful to work with all the way through. But was the conditional use permit for some of you that might have been there that night, and you recognize now I'm a little bit grayer since that time. But I was challenged by a an old friend of mine, but she sits on the planning commission, Judy Gibson. For those of you who remember, she challenged me about bringing some new churches into the city of Torrance. And she asked me if I was a religious person, religious man. I said, no, I'm not. I believe in God and I believe in Jesus Christ. And I never had such a big format, except for maybe today, to give my testimony. So thank you for giving me that opportunity, for this opportunity here. You are blessed by God. We've been blessed by God to work with you. Thank you.
You know, another great blessing from being on this building project was to see how encouraging the church family was and how willing all of you were to come out and sacrifice and use your gifts. We had people help us buy bathroom fixtures at cheaper costs. You know, Lewis used his movie-making skills for a video we'll be seeing in a little bit. We had a couple work days recently at the church site to get things done, and we actually had to turn people away. We had so many people coming out. The construction guys were getting a little nervous. We had so many people coming. Again, this past week, people have been calling me every day, offering to help, offering encouragement. So I wish I could thank each one of you, and I do thank each one of you, but I will try to get around to you later personally. But there are a few who really went above and beyond who I'd like to recognize here this morning, and those are the ones who are on our design, our vision team. So if you are here, I actually want you to come up on stage so we can recognize you up here. So first is Alice Davis. Is she here? You know, Alice, she oversaw most of our children's area, but also jumped in and just helped out with so many different things. She's going to be helping out with the kitchen, some of the gym equipment. And she is a fellow Chinese sister, meaning frugalness is in her DNA. So that really helped me, keeping costs under control. Debbie Delmonico. Is Debbie here? Debbie was our in-house interior designer. You know, people always comment when they walk in how great this place looks. And, you know, unfortunately, I can't take any credit for that. But Debbie, you know, and the design team really put together, did a great job. She chose most of the furniture. And, in fact, she personally came in and painted some of the extra walls and put together some of this furniture. So she really went above and beyond. So thank you. Gavin Kajikawa, would you come on up? Gavin, his main area was overseeing the office area, but he also got all the not-so-fun stuff like insurance and security and keys and stuff, and he willingly helped out with all that. And he surprisingly had a lot of ideas to offer on the design perspective. You know, I had like nothing to say when it came to that, but he actually has quite a good eye, so I was very thankful for that as well. And then finally, Kelly Kira. Is Kelly here? Kelly, as you know, a professional designer, builder extraordinaire, like he is at church every day. He helps out and fills out wherever and whenever he's needed. He has so many different talents. He and Debbie planned out a lot of the overall design scheme and look. And Kelly personally took care of a lot of his artwork. Him and his brother put together this cross. The signs up front, that lighthouse rusted sign he put together personally. And so it's just amazing. He just did so much of the look for our church and just helped out with all the little things. So thank you, Kelly. So I hope you all have a chance to thank all of these folks who have just so humbly served and helped bring this project together. And again, God is truly good.
Amy, do you mind coming on up? I don't know, Jason, when we met in Bible study 13 or 14 years ago, did you think we'd be here today? You weren't sure if we'd be alive. When we started this project, another pastor warned me with a statistic showing that after leading a big building project, there's a high percentage of pastors that actually leave their churches because the stress is so high. So I'm here to say that I feel great. You know, you might want to pray for Jason, that he would stay with us, but he's been good. Jason, as you know, is a doctor by trade, and which maybe doesn't make him the first person we would pick for a project like this. And not to knock doctors, but I don't want a construction worker taking out my appendix, right? And so I think, but Jason was truly the right person. It wasn't simply a matter of him doing it because the rest of us didn't have time, but because he was the right person who did better than any of us could have. And so I can't express how many unpaid hours, because he didn't pay anything. I'm sorry, they were all unpaid hours. That he poured himself in this building, dealing with a host of people, Christian and otherwise, always acting with integrity, with grace, and with much wisdom. And so, Jason, from us, we truly thank you. You've been one of God's graces to us, and we count it a privilege to have you as one of our elders. So, thank you. And Amy, we want to thank you as well. We know that for Jason to do what he did, you got to do so much that no one else saw. You know, taking care of the family, sacrificing time and energy to free him up. And so, to you as well, thank you for so much for serving our church in the way that you have. Your efforts have helped make this possible. So thank you very much. We've given them a weekend to get away. Someone will watch your kids. I'll sign it to one of the interns. So you're free to get away. So we hope you'll rest up. We hope you won't leave the church, Jason. But again, thank you very much. So thank you, Jason and Amy.
As we were building the site and the stage got up here, it was just plywood, I would stand up here just going, wow, what is it going to be like? And now I get to see it. It's come to fruition. And I have the honor to be able to lead us in a time of prayer. And in the midst of the celebration for our church family, our nation does mourn, as Ryan was mentioning. And what I wanted us to do, though, is take a few moments and just lift up, you know, either prayers of thanksgiving for this building. Maybe for some of you, it's been a rough week. For some of you, you're maybe just struggling with your marriage. But just wanted us to remember in the midst of this celebration that it is still worship service and that the Lord is with us. And so will you join with me as we just spend a few moments in silent prayer, and then I will lead us in a time of prayer together. Father, I thank you in the quietness of this morning that we can speak to you. We thank you that we can come to you in prayer and to know that they're not just words that float up in the air, but that they fall upon the God of this universe who hears. As we look around at this building, Lord, these are answers to prayer, and we do thank you. And more importantly, though, we thank you that you've allowed us to know your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, as our nation mourns, as we remember 9/11, and as people still search for where true hope lies, we as a congregation know that true hope only lies in the salvation that Jesus Christ brings. And Lord, we do pray that Jesus Christ would be made known in this community and in the South Bay area, and even beyond that, from this church to other parts of the world. Lord, that is what we pray, that the gospel message would be proclaimed and that people will come to saving faith and that their lives will be transformed and changed, not only in this life, but for the life to come. And Lord, we do pray and know that this building, as beautiful it is, you know, 25, 50, 100 years from now, will begin to erode away. But I pray that the lessons we have learned as we have been at Torrance High School will stay true, that the church is not the building, but it is the people who are following Jesus Christ. Help us to be that type of people who are lights to this community. Lord, we give you this building. We ask that you would allow us to be good stewards of it. And Father, we do most importantly thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray these things. Amen.
Maybe we can just take a moment and just stand and greet one another. You know, if there's someone you don't know, could you introduce yourself and welcome them and thank them for coming to support us? All right, well, let me take a moment and pray for us. Heavenly Father, as Pastor Gavin prayed, this church must be about the gospel because it must be about your glory. And so we pray for that, Lord. We thank you so much. Even as we acknowledge people, ultimately we're acknowledging you, the God behind all things, the God who is gracious to us. We pray, Lord, that you would help us steward well this building, to use it as a tool for ministry in the proclaiming of the gospel of our Savior. And we pray, Lord, that we would never lose sight of that, that we would be diligent, excited, energized for ministry by your Holy Spirit, Lord, to accomplish all that you've set forth for us to do. May we be focused on the gospel. May we love the gospel. May we preach the gospel. And may we live the gospel. We thank you, Lord, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't this place pretty incredible? Like Jason, I had really no input on the design of it. I remember a few months ago, I was sitting in on a meeting with the design team, and they were going over colors, and Susan Reuter asked, I think because I was there, and she felt kind of obligated, like, oh, the pastor showed up, I better ask him a question. So she said, well, what do you think about the colors? And I said, well, how about Dodger Blue? And then she's never asked me a question after that, like, not once. And I think looking around, I think we should be thankful for that. that was a wise decision. Let me again share my thankfulness to those of you who helped out in different ways. For many of you, it was finances, right? You sacrificially gave to support this endeavor. Many of you just used your gifts and your abilities to labor and make this happen. And again, I'm truly thankful. But as much as I'm thankful to you, ultimately, I'm thankful to God for you. I'm mindful of Paul's words in Philippians 1, 3 through 5. He writes, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. The church in Philippi that Paul had started about 10 years earlier had partnered with Paul in the ministry of the gospel. They had given sacrificially and worked faithfully for the gospel. And so as you read Philippians, you're aware of Paul's love for the church in Philippi. You're aware of his gratitude for their partnership in ministry. But ultimately, you recognize Paul's deep, unending gratitude to God for them. For Paul, his thankfulness always culminated in God. Credit and glory always found its end in God himself. And to us, we must do the same. As I look around and I think about all the hours that went into making this happen, I have to respond similarly and give ultimate credit and ultimate glory to God himself. If you notice in your bulletin, we kind of labeled the previous section, worship through thanksgiving. And that's what we want. As we thank people, we're acknowledging God for what he has done in and through them. Like the moon, we realize that any light that shines from us is simply a reflection of the glory of our great God. And knowing the people from Lighthouse who worked on this project in various ways, trust me when I say that their hope is the same, that in their efforts and the using of their time and energy and talents, that their desire is that God would be glorified. And so when you have a chance, would you please acknowledge and thank those who helped so much, but in that, let your gratitude always culminate in God. As you look around, I hope your heart is moved to worship and thankfulness to our great and good God. Now, earlier this week, I was studying at home. I knew I only had a short few minutes to share, and I was kind of thinking through. And my kids came by, and they asked me what I was doing. And I said, I'm trying to think about what I'm going to say on Sunday. So one of my kids said, why not talk about love? Well, that's a pretty good idea. And the second one said, well, why don't I talk about love and lying? Now, I wasn't sure about that one. I'm not sure how lying would go with the theme of this morning. The last one said, maybe you can just go up and tell them, I'm sorry, but I don't have anything to say. Now, as tempting as all three were, especially the last one, since I only have a few minutes, I've decided to simply offer a reminder of what this church is about. After all, though today is a day of celebration and thankfulness, we have arrived at our new church home, it's also a day when we look forward, right? This is not the end. We do have service next week. In fact, as much as anything, this day marks a new season in the life of the church, right? For some of you, you've kind of treated this as the promised land. It's the land of milk and honey. It's the land of cushioned seats and air conditioning. And you've been so excited to come here and to rest. But in reality, it's the new beginning of a season. It's the beginning of a new season of life for our church. And so let me start this new season by offering a simple reminder of what this church should be about. In 1 Corinthians 2:2, Paul writes, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." We can't get into the passage too deeply, but Paul is concerned that ministry is too much about him, right? And not enough about the gospel of Jesus Christ. People were concerned about being a follower of Paul, being a devotee of Paul. And Paul says, what is more important is that they would be a follower of Christ. And so for Paul, life was not too complicated. Ministry and mission were not too complicated. Quite simply, his great passion for people is that they would know and embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. For us, I offer this reminder because we must keep in mind that church must never ultimately be about a building or about a specific leader or about the programs and ministries that we have. It must be about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Nothing can ever take priority over that. This obviously, in part, refers to the message we share. The gospel or the good news that Jesus came to save sinners must be the message we proclaim, because there's no more important message that the world needs to hear. Paul says his life and his message are really about Christ. Question is why? I mean, why isn't his message be a good person? Why isn't his message go to church? Because there is only one message that can save a dying world, and that is the message of the cross. The gospel means good news. And it says this, that God created you and me and everyone in this world, and he created us to live for him. Sometimes people ask, well, why does God get to make the rules? Why do we have to live for God? We're his creation. He made us. Now, fortunately, this was not a bad thing, because God is a gracious and loving God. Nothing was meant to bring people greater joy than living for God, their creator. It was truly a relationship of love and joyful obedience. Everything was meant to be perfect. Needless to say, this doesn't describe the world we live in. We live in a world where there's sickness and pain, struggling relationships, depression. We live in a world where people disregard God. How did this all happen? Well, Adam and Eve gave in to temptation, and we have the fall, and sin enters the world, and it ruins everything. Have you ever looked around and wondered, why is the world the way it is? It's because sin. Sin explains the world and why it is the way it is. From that moment forward, every person who has ever lived, including you and me, is a sinner by action and by nature. Sin is simply the idea that all of us do wrong things. God gives us a certain way to live, and yet we fail. Every one of us breaks God's law. And in our sin, each of us is a rebel against God. Okay, most of us don't like to think in those terms. Like, even if you don't believe in God, you think, well, I'm indifferent to God. I'm not a rebel against God. But realize this, every time you do something wrong, you're saying, God, I won't live the way you want me to. The Bible says, love your enemies. It says, don't get stressed. It says, never tell even a white lie. And so each time we do one of these things, we're saying, God, I won't live for you. And that's rebellion against our Maker. Now, this is not simply about relational friction between us and God, but because God is absolutely holy and just, he has to deal with our sin. To not do so would make him an unjust God. It would contradict his very nature. He has to deal with sin. How does he do that? In Romans 1:18, it says that God will pour out his wrath upon sinners. And this is in the form of an eternity in hell. Okay, so this is what each of us deserves, God's wrath for our sins. There's not one person in this room that doesn't deserve that, and there's not one person in the world that does not deserve that. Now, most people try to solve this problem by being a good person. The thought is, if I do more good than bad, surely God couldn't punish me then, will he? Or they participate in religious ritual, thinking, that maybe they can earn God's favor. But in reality, all of us are sinners deserving God's wrath. We've already broken the law. Judgment is coming. Now, fortunately for us, the story does not end there, though it very well could have. But rather, God, in his unfathomable love, sent his son Jesus to earth to live the perfect life that we weren't able to, and then go to the cross and die in our place. In other words, because I'm a sinner, I deserve punishment. I deserve the wrath of God. But Jesus says, I will be punished for you. I will suffer God's wrath in your place. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. This is what Jesus was doing on the cross. When we see the picture of the cross, we often think of the physical suffering of the cross. It was incredible, beyond what any of us will understand or feel. But it was nothing compared to the idea that Jesus was exhausting the full wrath of God for every believer for all of time. Amazingly, Jesus didn't stay dead, but rose from the grave and became the promise of new life. So try to wrap your head around that. I deserve God's wrath because I'm a sinner, but my sin was credited to Jesus and he was punished for it. Conversely, Jesus' perfect life was credited to my account, and now I can actually once again be a child of God. I mean, can you imagine? Have you ever wondered, how can I be a child of the living God knowing that I'm a sinner and he's holy and perfect? It's through Jesus Christ. What does it mean then to be a Christian? If you put your faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, you will have eternal life. It's not about being a good person or going to church. It's about trusting in Christ for salvation. Getting back to Paul, why wasn't his message come to church? Be a good person, be religious, because all of those would ultimately accomplish nothing. Every one of us is going to stand before God one day. It won't matter how good we think we are. It won't matter how much money we make. It won't matter how successful our kids are. What will matter is this: have we put our faith in Jesus for forgiveness of our sins and for eternal life? And this is why Paul says, I am determined to know nothing among you except this, Jesus Christ and him crucified. In Acts 20:24, he talks again about this mission. And he says this: I do not account my life of any value, nor precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that God has given me, that I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. For Paul, this was life. In fact, the only reason he wanted to stay in this role rather than just go and be home with the Lord was because he had a mission, he had a goal to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Beloved, as we move forward, realize this beautiful church is simply a means to proclaim a message, a crucified and risen Savior that offers salvation to a world destined for wrath. Knowing those who worked on this, from Lighthouse, their great hope was never for you to come and be impressed with a building. Their hope was for a place that we could call home, where we can grow in our love for God and for one another, and a place where the good news of the gospel of Christ could be proclaimed. Lighthouse must always be about the gospel of Jesus. Now, some of you might think, well, of course, that's what we're about. It goes without saying. But realize, I think in our new site, it will be easier to forget what we're really about. And if you think about it, for the last 8 years, we've had this simple but continuous lesson: the church is not about a building. Every week we walked into a cafeteria, passed the posters on the wall, sat in seats with gum under them. We were facing a unicorn behind the pulpit, and we would be reminded that God's church isn't about a building, but it consists of people who worship Christ and live and proclaim the gospel of Jesus. Ministry was never about being comfortable. Buildings were not known for their beauty. There was never time to be complacent. And so through it all, we were able to stay focused on our mission as a church to fulfill the great commission of Christ. As we start to minister out of this new, beautiful church home, we must remember to focus on that mission. For myself and the other elders, we see this building as a stewardship, a way to use what God has provided to spread the glory of the gospel of Jesus. We know that God works through people and not buildings. This building is an incredible, miraculous gift from God, but it cannot demonstrate love. It cannot proclaim the gospel, and it cannot worship the Almighty. But you, as God's people, can. Maybe even more amazingly, the Bible says that in you, people actually see the living God. 1 John 4:12 says, "No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." John is saying, God is invisible. However, if we love God, God can be seen in us. The gospel is not simply to be proclaimed, but lived out. As we demonstrate humble, sacrificial love, as we take an interest in people's lives and serve them, as we expend ourselves in ministry, God and the gospel can be seen in our lives. In other words, this building tells people there is a church here, but it is you that tells people that there is a God, by the way that you live and the way that you love. So my prayer for you and for me is that the gospel we proclaim and the love we live out will demonstrate to others that we have a great God who is worthy to be praised. On the very first Sunday we had church, we said that we don't want people leaving saying, "What a great service," or "What great worship," or "What a great message." We said our great hope was that people would leave saying, "What a great God." 8 years later, our hope is the same. May you leave this church, this beautiful church, saying, "What a great God." Will you take a moment and pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come before you, and I just look around, and it's just so beautiful, Lord. It's just so nice to be able to fit everyone. It's so nice to see our kids running around, to see new faces and visitors support us. And yet in all this, Lord, I pray that we would say, "What a great God." We are so undeserving, Lord, of your grace, and yet you lavish it upon us. Not only in salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, but you've gone beyond that. And you've given us a church family that we can love and grow together with. You've given us this building, a place where we can minister and serve. And so, Lord, I do make it my prayer that in the way that we proclaim and live the gospel, that people would see a great God. And that we would leave here saying in our own hearts that you are good and you are great. We thank you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.